read the Word of God this morning in Deuteronomy 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few." And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies." And of Levi he said, "Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massa, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, 'I have not seen him,' neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again." And of Benjamin he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. He shall dwell between his shoulders." And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. The blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his flock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh." And of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand." And of Gad he said, "Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel." And of Dan he said, "Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan." And of Naphtali he said, "O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south." And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." We read the Word of God this far. Take verse 23 as our text this morning. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. You stand, beloved, at the beginning of another year, and the question crosses our mind, what will the year 2018 hold? There are at least three things we can say in answer to that with certainty. Of course, we don't know any of the details. And we're warned in the Scriptures even against boasting about what the year might bring forth as regards any personal advantage to us. Because, as the proverb says, we know not what a day may bring forth. We know not the hour of our death. But with regard to the Church of Jesus Christ, there are at least three things that the year 2018 will hold, and we could say them in general ways. In the first place, all that God has determined for history and determined in His counsel will continue to be realized. Our Lord, who sits at God's right hand, still sits there and will continue to cause all things to happen in accordance with the will of God. In the second place, all the signs that point to the coming of Jesus Christ and the prophecies of things that regard that must happen before He comes will continue to be fulfilled. Not the final fulfillment, very possibly in the year ahead, but continued fulfillment. And in the third place, the church, though increasingly hated by the world, will be blessed by Jehovah. We shouldn't even put that in the future tense. The church will be. Rather, in the present tense, the church who is now blessed will continue to enjoy the blessing of Jehovah God. You and I have that assurance as we turn to the Word of God that speaks of Jehovah's blessing on His people. The text we have before us is an Old Testament text speaking of the blessing of Jehovah upon Israel, and specifically upon the tribe of Naphtali in Israel. But that word of Moses to Israel was really the word of Jehovah to Israel and to Naphtali, and was therefore a sure word. The text did not consist for Naphtali of a wish or a hope on the part of Moses that Naphtali would enjoy Jehovah's blessing. It was a word of assurance. Naphtali is satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of Jehovah. And so the Word of God comes to us today. And at an occasion like this, and as we consider again an Old Testament passage, you and I can be ever thankful for an understanding of the covenant of God that emphasizes that God's covenant is one continued covenant manifested in the Old Testament to Israel, but in the New Testament to His church, and Old Testament Israel and New Testament church are really one and the same people, the elect redeemed by Christ. I say we can be thankful for that because it's for that reason that we can hear the words of the text and take to heart the same certainty, the word of Jehovah to the church of Jesus Christ today and with regard to the year ahead. You are and will continue to be satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord. We're not taking a word that was spoken to a different people at a different time in a different circumstance and saying that was such a nice word for them. We hope it's true for us. But we're going to examine our text saying we know it is Jehovah's word for us. Moses' blessing upon Naphtali. I call your attention to the text under that theme. And we ask the question first, upon whom? Which tribe is being addressed here? In the second place, what? What was that blessing? And in third place, why would Jehovah bless Naphtali. There are three things to be understood in answer to the question, upon whom? As we understand that Naphtali was the object of the blessing. The first point to make is that Naphtali was part of the covenant people of God. And here we're going to focus on his parentage and even more on his fatherhood. Naphtali, of course, was a son of Jacob. If you look at his motherhood, briefly, we can say simply, Naphtali was the second child, the second son, born to Bilhah, and Bilhah was Rachel's handmaid. The name Naphtali means my wrestling. Rachel, not Bilhah, gave him that name because, as you recall, Rachel had been barren, Leah had been having many children, and Rachel supposed that if now Jacob would go into her handmaid and have children, they would be regarded as Rachel's children. Now Rachel has, in her handmaid, two children, and she thinks that she has wrestled with her sister for the favor and the love of Jacob, and now she probably has attained it. All right, enough about Naphtali's maternal or mother, because that's not the focus for the moment. Now let's come back to the fact that regardless of his mother, he was the son of Jacob. And Jacob, of course, the grandson of Abraham, to whom came the covenant promises. Jacob, the one in whom was fulfilled God's word to Abraham, your seed will go into a land that is not theirs. And Naphtali went with Jacob into Egypt. Naphtali, who with Jacob, or at least with the sons and tribes that came from Jacob, was brought out of and delivered from Egypt and brought into Canaan, formed at Sinai with the other nations to be God, with the other tribes, to be God's beloved nation. Naphtali is part of the covenant. For that reason, when Jacob died and he blessed his 12 sons, Genesis 49, he could say of Naphtali in verse 21, Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. And very simply, the essence of what he was saying is, Naphtali will enjoy true freedom. Who enjoys true freedom? But those who are in the covenant of God. And he giveth goodly words. Who are those who speak lovely things? But God's covenant people, as we speak in fear of Him and in service of Him. Naphtali is in the covenant. That's why the text is significant for us today. We are God's covenant people. Not the entirety of God's covenant people, but neither was Naphtali, but a part of God's covenant people. So much so that for us, Jehovah showed his love in sending Jesus Christ. All of the evidences that we are in God's covenant, that we are his precious people, you and I find as we look to the person and the work of Jesus Christ being sent into our flesh for us. And in light of Jesus Christ and all he did for us, the evidences that we are in God's covenant come when we hear God's word expounded to us, when the Spirit applies that word to us, when we find in Jesus Christ the power both to believe and to live a life of faith, an antithetical and distinctive life. We know we are in God's covenant, and therefore we have the assurance that the word of the text is a word for us today. We are blessed, not more highly than others in the covenant of God, but with others who are in God's covenant. That first. Secondly, as we explain upon whom the blessing rested, let's notice that the tribe of Naphtali appeared to be on the very fringes of Israel. If you had among the tribes of Israel and the sons of Judah or Jacob, a competition. I'm better than you. Then Naphtali would have fallen down at the very bottom of the list. Now, why do we say that? First of all, when the 12 tribes marched through the wilderness, they were assigned a very certain order, and Naphtali was 12th of 12. He was the last. There were two census taken in the wilderness, two countings of the armed men in each tribe. Who was counted last? Both times, it was the tribe of Naphtali. Who was the not last, but second to the last tribe to receive their inheritance of the land of Canaan? It was Naphtali, and only Dan, Naphtali's older brother from Bilhah, was the last. Who received the piece of land farthest to the north in Canaan? It was Naphtali. Later, some of the tribe of Dan would say, we don't have enough room in the assigned portion given us. And so they would go even farther to the north and conquer peoples and take over there. But immediately, or right from the outset, Naphtali had the farthest north piece of land. When Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, fought against Israel, and later Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, took the northern 10 tribes captive, which tribe did they take first? It was Naphtali, because Naphtali was the tribe to whom they came first. Naphtali was always last, or when they were first, as regards being taken into captivity, it was not first in a noble way. No wonder the people from Naphtali were despised, even by other Jews. And when Jesus lived, people said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Which was in the environs of the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali cannot say that he has a right to the blessing of Jehovah because of his place in the covenant. That is, he's in the covenant. That's why he's sure he will have the blessing of Jehovah, but not because of his place in the covenant in relation to others in the covenant. Naphtali has nothing to put forward in order to say, I should be blessed. That point is significant for us too. Reality is that the church is always despised. But then, within the church, speaking of church broadly, all God's people everywhere at every given time in history, within the church there are individual groups, congregations maybe, denominations perhaps, who are even more despised. Sometimes it's that congregation or denomination that strives to be the most faithful and tries to avoid as much as possible any accommodation or acclimation toward the world. Sometimes a church is despised because it's small, because in the eyes of the community around it, it seems insignificant. And then within churches like that, you find individuals who say, I'm in the church, but it's like no one else notices me. I guess I'm very insignificant. Maybe I don't even really belong. And therefore, is the blessing of Jehovah really for me? Is it really for this congregation? If the blessing of Jehovah came on Naphtali, also among the 12 tribes of Judah, then we have the answer to those questions that sometimes come up in our minds, or the doubts that Satan works in us. Absolutely. To be in the covenant of God is to receive His blessing. It's not a matter of how others view your place in the covenant or what rank men will give you if they would rank you a place in the covenant. That doesn't matter. The blessing of Jehovah is upon His people. It's the second point to underscore. And the third is that Scripture presents the tribe of Naphtali as being quietly faithful to Jehovah God. Quietly, again, in a way that doesn't draw attention to itself. Judah was at the foreground. She was supposed to be the leader. That made her prominent, of course. Ephraim wanted to be the leader. And so she was sometimes at the foreground, not in a right way. You don't hear of Naphtali trying to be a somebody, but quietly, the men of Naphtali were faithful. When Judge Barak and Judge Gideon called men to help them fight the enemies from the different tribes of Israel, sometimes the men of Ephraim said, "We're not going. This wasn't our idea." Or, "You're going to get destroyed anyway. Why would we risk our lives?" But the men of Naphtali went. When David became king, but at first, while he was king, somebody of Saul's descendants reigned. The house of Saul reigned in the northern part, and David was king just in Hebron for a while. And when some were despising David, calling him really a usurper of the throne, there were men of Naphtali who helped the Lord's anointed. Here is the evidence that Naphtali is in the covenant. Not what ranking she got or he got in the eyes of other people, but that he knew the Lord loved him and he loved the Lord. And that makes the Word of God significant for you and for me this morning. Not, am I looked down on? Do others in the church know I'm a member here? Do they recognize my gifts? That's not the question. It's the wrong question. And if in the year ahead we try to look for the blessing of Jehovah on the basis of how others view us, we will not find the assurance of His blessing. But if we ignore what others think of us and make as our goal quietly but faithfully to serve Jehovah God, then we will enjoy and experience His blessing on us. That's the calling of this congregation and of us as individual members, every child of God in the year of our Lord, 2018. If the world notices us at all, may it be because we've been faithful to God. Because in faithfulness to Him, we are ready to take a stand against the sins of the world. If others in the church notice us at all, and maybe some even despise us for it, may it be because we are ready to apply the principles of Scripture to our lives faithfully. But if doing those things, no one else notices us, let us quietly persevere. The evidence that we are in the covenant of God and that His blessing rests on us is that we Him above all else, and we will serve Him regardless of circumstances and regardless of what that service brings on us. This is our calling. Do you remember that our Lord and Savior Himself was faithful to that calling? From Nazareth, not by birth, for by birth He was born in Bethlehem to make clear He was from the line of David, but from Nazareth as regards His growing up years, despised by the chief priests and the high priests because of His place in Nazareth and his boyhood years there, he faithfully did the will of his father. Thus, though the high priest said, "Don't look for salvation from that Jesus," he went to the death of the cross and he earned salvation for you and for me. Quietly faithful when others esteemed him lowly. Having explained upon whom the blessing of Jehovah rests, let's notice what that blessing was. The blessing that Moses, as Jehovah's prophet, pronounces on Naphtali in the text, was not just a future blessing, but a present reality. O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. Not you will be or may you be, but you are today. Beautiful words those were to Naphtali, because favor and blessing of Jehovah, those are covenantal gifts and blessings. To know that we are favored of Jehovah is to know that He delights in us as a covenant God and therefore will receive us and does receive us into His friendship. To know that even in outward ways, not money, not food, not earthly circumstances, but in other ways we will have the testimonies of His love and favor. To know that all is well with my soul, that as I go through life and the trials and afflictions of life, He will not leave me nor forsake me. All of that is implied in the words, you are satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of Jehovah. And to be satisfied is not just to possess something, but it's from one's heart and soul to experience it. In other words, Naphtali knew and was assured that this blessing of Jehovah was hers. So to you and to me, the blessing of Jehovah is upon us. Are you looking for the evidence of that blessing in the right way? So often when we question whether Jehovah really has blessed us or is blessing us, it's because we're looking at the wrong things for evidence. We look at some affliction in our life, and we suppose that if Jehovah were blessing us, He wouldn't have sent that affliction. Or if He sent it, He would have made it turn out already in some way to our advantage, and we would be able to see with earthly eyes how this was for our good. But Jehovah blessing His people doesn't always act that way. Don't make demands of Jehovah as to how He must treat you or me, but rather understand this. The fact that He has delivered us from the bondage of sin and death in Jesus Christ is the proof that we are blessed. The fact that we as a church of Jesus Christ can continue to sit under the pure preaching of the Word and administration of the sacraments is the evidence that we are blessed. And the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, receiving that preached Word, or as we read it in our homes, and applying it to our hearts, is Jehovah saying, you do experience it. You are satisfied favor and the blessing of Jehovah God. Are you looking in the right places or in the right way? To know Jehovah's blessing is a beautiful thing. It isn't just that Naphtali was the object of Jehovah's favor, but as I pointed out, to be satisfied and to be full with is to experience that. And that's part of the blessing He gives you and me, to know. There are churches, Reformed in name and generally Reformed in heritage, would always hold before the people who fill their pews a doubt. You can't quite be sure. Such a person or such preaching can't pronounce one satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of Jehovah. But the Word of God, as it addresses us as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we know. And in that knowledge, that we are full of Jehovah's blessing, we delight. This is the sweetest thing to the child of God on earth. We sang earlier, both from Psalm 73 in number 204 and Psalm 16 in number 27, words and ideas that express this point. Whom have I on earth but thee? And that wasn't the song of the child of God then, nor is it now the song of the child of God saying, I am reduced to such poverty. I have not another friend in the church. But it's the word of the child of God saying, what I do have as regards material gifts, they aren't the main thing. I have Jehovah. He will not leave me. What more could I want? Can you say that? Do you say that? Then we know what it is to be satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. And that's what we want and can expect in the year ahead. To continue to enjoy that favor, to continue to be able to say, because I have Jehovah and His love, whatever happens to me, whatever happens to my possessions, will not shake my faith or my assurance of His favor. The first part of the blessing then regarded what Naphtali already had and what you and I already have. The second part of the blessing that Moses pronounces on Naphtali does regard the future. Possess thou the west and the south. Clearly, this is a reference to the place that the tribe of Naphtali will be given in the land of Canaan. Literally, the Hebrew does not read, possess thou the west and the south, but possess thou the lake or the sea and the south. And the word translated west in our text is far more often translated, even in our King James Version, as sea. Why would it be translated west? Because often the sea that was referred to was the Mediterranean Sea. And therefore, because the Mediterranean Sea was west, to speak of being toward the sea was to speak of being west. However, in our text, it cannot be the Mediterranean Sea to which reference is made. If you would look at an atlas that shows you where the tribe of Naphtali eventually settled, then you would see that. The tribe of Naphtali, as I said already, included cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, some of those right along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But that was the southern edge of the land given to the tribe of Naphtali. It went from the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee and northward. Now do you remember, if you imagine a Bible atlas, that there was to the south the Dead Sea, then going to the north the Jordan River, and then the Sea of Galilee, and then the Jordan River continuing north of that, actually came down from the north, and north of the Sea of Galilee was another body of water. It was called sometimes the waters of Merom. It had other names and atlases, but its name is not the significant point right now. It must be that the reference of the text to the sea or the lake is to that body of water north of the Sea of Galilee, because the tribe of Naphtali inherited land from that northern lake all the way down to the Sea of Galilee on the western side of the Jordan River. Possess thou the west and the south. In other words, from that lake southward. That, to me, is the best way to explain the wording of the text. But the important question now is, what's the significance of that? What difference does it make? And the answer is that Naphtali will have a place in the covenant land, in the land promised to Abraham. Jehovah's promises are fulfilled to her. In that sense, she's not any lesser nor any greater than the other tribes. All got a place within the portion of land that God had said to Abraham, I will give this land to you and to your seed. And if some in Naphtali would say, well, why do we have to be on the edge? Why are we the ones that have to travel so far to get to the temple to worship? Then the answer of Jehovah could be, have I done you wrong? You have a place in the covenant promised land. Don't look at what you don't have. Be amazed at what you do. Once again, that word is fitting for you and for me. We are given a place in God's covenant. Let us not compare our place to the place of others. That would be fruitless. That we have a place in God's covenant is the point. And we will possess that place with all the inheritance that comes with it. What Scripture does not spell out, but what other Bible scholars have come to understand, is that the land given to Naphtali, though perhaps on the northern fringes, was some of the most fertile land in all of Canaan. The wheat fields here produced wheat like wheat fields nowhere else. Again, what I'm going to say does not come from a scripture passage to which I can point, but from biblical scholars. Sometimes Naphtali, last one counted in the census, the last almost to inherit the land, the last to march through the wilderness, was the first to bring its first fruits to the temple. The grains matured first in her fertile soils and northern climates. What more beautiful token of being in God's covenant and being blessed could there be than to say, the tribe of Naphtali is coming to the temple with their first fruits and with their offerings. The blessing of Jehovah has been upon our land again in this year. Oh, sometimes you and I look at our place in God's covenant and say it's nothing. And yet inevitably, God gives us some blessing that is beyond measure. Some blessing which distinguishes us from others as regards to the place He has for us in His covenant. Whether that's true of churches or individuals, we could take the figure of the body, the members of the church as being part of the body of Christ, and each member playing a different role. And it's really making the point that I'm making. You may be the hand or the eye or the foot and wish you were something else, but there are gifts God has given you to serve in the place in which you are that others don't have. And you're going to think you needed a different place? Quietly, faithfully, let us recognize that we are blessed and give ourselves to serve our God with zeal and with thankfulness. Why does this blessing come on Naphtali? Not because of any merit on Naphtali's part. It's almost a truism, which is to say it's almost so clearly understood that we wouldn't point it out, except we'd better point it out because this will help us see the gospel of grace in the text. The gospel of grace always requires us to see that we are not worthy of receiving the blessing of Jehovah. And when I say not for any merit on her part, I don't have in mind now the way in which other people or other tribes viewed Naphtali, but I have in mind the very simple fact that also Naphtali descended from Jacob, descended from Abraham, descended from Adam, was a sinful people. We don't read of the sins of members of the tribe of Naphtali as prominently as we do of members of the other tribes. The rebels, for instance, in the wilderness, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, we read of them. They weren't from the tribe of Naphtali. They were from Levi and from Reuben. We read of the sins of the Ephraimites, their pride. If they weren't first and if they didn't get all the credit, they weren't going to do it. We know of the sins of the Benjamites. They were those who tolerated the sin of homosexuality in one of their own villages or cities. And when the other tribes came to them and said, that's a sin we don't allow in the Church of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, the men of Benjamin were ready to fight against the other 11 rather than to go to the perpetrators of this heinous sin and say, you've sinned. There are tribes whose sins are prominent in the record of Scripture, but Naphtali's aren't. However, quietly, there are some indications. Also in the tribe of Naphtali, not all serve Jehovah as they ought. I mentioned that Naphtali was the last mentioned or last counted in those two censuses in the wilderness. But what's also significant is that in those 40 years, the number of men 20 years and older who could bear arms and fight in Naphtali decreased by 8,000 men. That's worthy of note. There are tribes who grew in number. There are some who were almost decimated. With Naphtali, I wouldn't use that word. But the loss of 8,000 men is significant. That is God's judgment on sin. And along with the other tribes, Naphtali also did not drive out the Canaanites who were in the land or the part of the land apportioned to her. Faithfulness to Jehovah and understanding that she was satisfied with His favor and full of His blessing should have motivated her to do so, but she did not. No, Naphtali could not say, Lord, we understood all along, it's not what men think of us, it's how much we love Thee, and we have been quietly faithful, so Thy blessing must rest on us. Naphtali could not say that, nor can you or I. We know our sinfulness. We know the sins of which we have been guilty. We know the besetting sins against which still we struggle. And we know that we cannot come to Jehovah and say, on any basis or reason to be found in us, that we should have His blessing. But Naphtali was blessed, and you and I are, because of the blessings that Jesus Christ came to earn, did earn, and now bestows by His Spirit. Naphtali is blessed because he, as a true son of Abraham, is blessed in Jesus Christ who will come. He is part of that promised seed. He is part of those for whom Jesus Christ would lay down His life. And therefore, though Naphtali would look ahead to that basis, Naphtali must be ready in bringing her offerings to the temple to say, as we saw yesterday morning, with every Israelite, I have been redeemed. And I look ahead to the blood of one who will finally redeem me. And in the confidence that He's coming, I serve Jehovah. Your blessing and my blessing also is earned for us by Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross, is bestowed by Him as He sits at God's right hand and pours out His Spirit on us. You know that. I know that. The source of our blessing is Jehovah God. The basis is Jesus Christ. The effect? Naphtali doesn't walk around saying, I am blessed, I am blessed. But Naphtali walks around saying, praise Jehovah God. The saints of Randolph PRC don't walk around saying, we are better, we are better. But the saints of Randolph PRC say, praise Jehovah God. This is the God who has distinguished us to be part of His own. This is the God who has given us the ability and the power to serve Him. This is the God who speaks to us words of blessing in the text, a God who never lies and who will carry out what He has promised. This God will be with us in the year 2018. This God will continue to pour His blessing out on us in the coming year. This God we will continue to serve faithfully and quietly in the coming year until finally we stand before this God in the new heavens and the new earth and we serve Him perfectly forever. Beloved, the blessing of the Lord is upon you in this year. Amen. Father, which art in heaven, give us to experience that blessing. Our faith will be tested. Satan heard the word of blessing spoken and now will work to cause us to doubt and deny. Give us to believe, not to be shaken in our confidence. Be certain. Then to understand that it's not whether even we feel blessed or whether others say we are blessed, but whether we show we are blessed by serving Thee in gratitude that matters. So for the sake of Jesus Christ, empower us to live unto Thee in the year ahead. For Jesus' sake, amen.